that it? Is that us? We're here. We're back. Hooray!
Hey.
Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to Take 127 on Ship Full of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. We are coming to you tonight live from the top of the Railway Hotel in dismal Southend-on-Sea. Hello there, my name is Dan, I am your host. Let us go around the other co-presenters in clockwise order.
Clockwise, that's me then. Yeah, hello, I'm Mark.
Oh, I thought it was going to be longer than that. Hi, I was just texting someone. Hi, I'm Joe. I don't think Southend's dismal. No. Can I say that's the view held by just one person?
Yes, that's right. Southend is the best place in the world. Yeah. We all know
that. I am talking about the weather, of course. Mm,
just clarifying that then. We love Southend.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Mike. I'm back.
Thank you, Mike. Right, okay, so here we are back again and we're going to talk about some films because that's what we do forever and ever until we're all dead.
And have we got a fun choice for you this week?
It's a marvellous choice, isn't it? So the theme for this month's show is illness.
You should have got a musical sting there, shouldn't you, for that?
Yes, illness.
I'm still ill.
It's got an antidote to the summer blockbuster, though.
There was a good reason for this. It was because we wanted to watch The Big Sick, but then we didn't quite get around to it in time.
Well, I've seen it twice.
It's too much of an independent movie to be at the stupid Odeon.
It was at the Odeon for two weeks.
2 weeks.
But you didn't decide. 2 weeks, and I think eventually there was like one showing a day at 2:15, slap bang in the middle of the working day.
Well, so if you didn't have jobs like me, you could go and see it. So
hey,
it's your own fault.
I haven't had a job, but I have had my children. Anyway, moving on.
So I'm going to hand over now to Joe, who is going to tell us about the first movie on the roster this evening.
Yep. So prepared. Actually, this is a great film. So the first film that we are talking about this evening is a film called Still Alice, which stars the inimitable Julianne Moore, for which she won her only Academy Award, much deserved. And it's a film about a 50-something linguistics professor who, on the surface, has everything. She's internationally renowned, has 3 gorgeous grown-up children. She is in a relationship with Alec Baldwin, so she hasn't quite got everything. She's pretty repulsive. But she, on the outside, does look like she has the perfect life. And then she's suddenly diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's, which, of course, being a linguistics professor, is the highest... irony. What is the word? It's not irony. Anyway,
Bad irony.
I thought irony is written. Anyway, So yes, Alanis Morissette's kind of irony. That's what we'll say. And actually, it's during one of her lectures that she starts to realise that she can't remember a word for certain things, and then you quickly see more of her demise. I think what's interesting about Still Alice and the way it presents the illness is that it's not from everyone else's point of view, it's from her point of view. So quite often I think with films about dementia, it's very much how it's affecting the family. And I think with this film, and we can see why Julianne Moore won her Oscar, is that it's very much about if her whole life is being a linguistics professor, even above being a mother, she's obviously a good mother, but that's her love, and suddenly she can't grasp words anymore, then what is she? Who is she? You know, that is terrifying, isn't it? And dementia is a terrifying illness. And that is what the title is all about, isn't it? Is she still Alice? Not just Alice, who's very still, as Mark suggested. Don't laugh about this. But anyway, so, I mean, what to say about this film? Not funnily enough at all, but the guy that directed it, I can't remember his name, sorry, that's so unprofessional. His name...
Richard Galazza.
Yeah, it was Wash Westmore, anyway.
Wash Merriman,
yeah. Richard Galazza was actually suffering from motor neuron disease while he was directing it, which is fascinating. But I think, you know... it's Julianne Moore, isn't it? That's what this film is really... The film itself, I think, having revisited it slightly today, when I first saw it, it really blew me away and I thought it was unbelievable. Watching it again in parts, I do think actually it's slightly pedestrian, but she is just so bloody amazing and brilliant and so all-encompassing. And also I think Kristen Stewart's fantastic in it as well. And I think it's really interesting to look at the point of view from the person who's losing themselves as opposed to all the people that have got to take care of it. So there you are. I think it's a really interesting, important film, and she more than deserved that Oscar. She should have won an Oscar for Maps to the Stars, actually. But there you go. Say of my piece.
She was very good in that as well. Yeah.
For playing such a horrible character.
Yeah.
I think that's all I've got to say, isn't it?
Possibly.
I think so.
You know what? Let's hand over now to Mike. I'd love to
There's
know
only
what
one
Mike
Red Thunder it. In, so I don't know.
Do you have to? Colgate Mark's view. On
no, I want yours now. Oh, I want yours.
We can come back to you if you'd like another guzzle of your knockoff Red Bull substitute.
It's his oldie special Red Bull.
Other supermarkets are available.
Not as cheap.
Must be one in Lidl. Lidl must be something like Red Rain, something really rubbish.
Don't Netto do a version?
I like Lidl and I like Aldi, so there's only one thing for it. Oh, my.
Sorry, we're really digressing. Okay.
Blue Rat. Pardon? Sorry, that just popped into my head. If any listeners out there have seen the Sean Locke sitcom 15 Stories High, there's an episode where he's addicted to this, like, really cheap knockoff energy drink called Blue Rat.
It's in a That's tin. A brilliant name.
It's in a tin, and you actually have to, like, open it with one of those old tin kind of, like...
Got a party
well, like,
seven.
Like, during the war, Anyway,
I digress. And you know what? Actually, listeners, don't watch any of these movies tonight. Just go and watch both series of 15 Stories High.
And then you can thank us later.
Yes. Anyway, Mike.
Carrying on with our morose theme. Yes,
please don't think that we're not interested in everything you have to say.
Right. I, first time possibly, agree totally with what Joe said.
Sorry, I just fell off my chair. I'm back now.
But, what was that?
That was something on the computer going.
that was the noise of what? You agree? That was the magic.
I thought I'd won a prize.
You have. I'm going to tell you later.
Oh, dear.
That sounded really
sounded
weirdly
really,
saucy.
Really.
Oh, no, that's like, no, I didn't mean that like that. You've won. I've got you a crate of Red Thunder. It's in the car.
Yeah, anyway, this film, apart from it being very good, I found it a bit dull. Julianne Moore, terrific. Got no, they all terrific. I've got a thing about just because he's got a laptop doesn't make him a professor in my book.
But he does do a good Trump. Isn't he?
He does indeed. But I've got.
Oh, we're talking about an impression. Okay. Right.
Juvenile, aren't we tonight?
Oh, really?
Rise above it, folks.
But I reckon the tooth. I'll go on Alec Baldwin because it. Have you ever seen Thomas and the Magic Railroad?
Funnily enough, no.
I spent 2 years of my life watching that every day, and he was Mr. Conductor.
So it's an American version of Thomas the Tank Engine, presumably, is it?
Yeah. Okay. And it was him, and bizarre, Alec Baldwin, Mr. Conductor, and Peter Fonda.
Okay.
Method acting his way through Thomas the Tank Engine. Very strange. But I can't...
But that's like, what's his name? Who's the one who's an amazing English actor who plays BFG?
Mark Rylance.
Yeah. Mark Rylance. Yeah. He's a children's show called Bing. And the other day I was in the kitchen and suddenly you hear his rich tones coming out of a rabbit. Just saying.
What can't... No. Oh, my God. There. Anyway, this film, deadly serious film. But can I... Come on, let's get back on point here.
Okay. So,
looking at the DVD... I didn't see it at the cinema, so I watched the DVD and I saw some of the DVD extras. And it's like directors, co-directing partnership and all main actors. And all their interviews were about what a big, horrible disease this is. And we hope it raises awareness of the disease, blah, blah, blah. And yes, and that's a worthy course. Of course it is. But that doesn't make it a good film. So I think it was more of a message movie than a film with a plot.
See, I don't agree with that, but carry on.
So I think it was a bold choice making it all about her. However, I'm not sure if it's totally successful because the other characters for me, kind of drifted off into just ciphers of the husband, the daughter. And I didn't really care.
But maybe that's the point to a certain extent, because that's how it feels to her.
Yeah.
They become unimportant.
No, I think out of the choice, they did it that way. And certainly some of the shots, it's really well directed, I think. And they did those shots where they're just very narrow focus. So only she was in focus, and all the background when they're talking about her, it was all blurry. So it kind of, a little bit heavy-handed possibly, but it kind of told you what was going on, or rather what wasn't going on. So I thought all that was good, but at the end of 2 hours or whatever, it was like, oh, right, okay. Yeah. So I don't think it quite worked, although everybody's wonderful and lots of the film is very good and it's got a very good message there. I just don't think it's a good structurally made film. But like I say,
it's almost feels in some places like a TV movie of the week.
It's disease.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can easily imagine flicking on Channel 5 and going, oh, right, well, Julianne Moore's done this.
Yeah.
Everyone involved in that film would love that summing up of their masterpiece.
So I've not got too much to say other than I'd recommend it, actually, but I don't think it's, it's a film you'd probably see once and you don't need to see it again.
Yeah, interesting. The other thing I saw it criticised for, which I thought was, I don't know, interesting, was that someone was saying, is it because she's youngish and attractive and it's almost making the disease be taken more seriously because she's a younger, more attractive woman?
Yeah, you could argue.
I thought that was utterly ridiculous, personally.
Yeah, no.
I just think anything that raises awareness for a disease that needs more money and
research.
My brain's at home. It's good. Moving on.
Yeah, I think the fact that she is a younger woman, only 50, and is the early onset Alzheimer's, I think it gives an important message, which is this isn't just an old person's disease. Yeah. And also, let's be honest, if the main character was some awful snaggletooth Harridan,
like Susan Boyle or something like that. Not that she's a snaggletooth Harridan, but if it was someone that was less attractive.
And this is going out live as well. I hope Susan's not tuned in.
Sorry, we're very sorry, Susan.
She'll be.
You go back to your songs, love.
Beside
don't listen to Joe.
She's not snaggletooth. I'm sorry. You're right.
I was going to say something else.
I'm going to move on to Mark now.
You haven't said anything about the film.
You haven't given an opinion.
I don't have an opinion. I'm not here to have an opinion.
Yeah, you're just host.
Yes, I'm just hosting. I'm more interested in what Mark thought.
Okay. I find it very interesting because I've not been in the best of moods lately and I was quite not really looking forward to seeing this because I thought it's going to be such an emotional roller coaster and I'm going to end up in floods of tears and blah, 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 blah. I thought it was extremely well made. Julianne Moore was terrific and there's one particular scene where she breaks down. She's sitting in bed with Alec Baldwin and it's one of some of the best acting I've ever seen because it was just, how did she manage to do it? She went from being completely not upset to just bawling her eyes out and sobbing. And it was just brilliant. But I didn't emotionally engage with it. There's only, I found it a bit sort of sterile. And I don't know why that was. There was one, the only scene I ever actually sort of got the bit of the lump in the throat was when she was introduced, it's not a spoiler, but she was introduced to her grandchildren for the first time. And she was just holding the kids. And it's like, that's just a really beautifully done. It's so and it's a look on her daughter, who is played by Kate Bosworth. And it was such just that kind of, that look. It was so well done. And that's sort of a little bit of a lump. But the rest of it, I was just like, I'm just watching this through sort of a glass. And I didn't really get any emotional depth from it. But having said that, I say, a really interesting. And it links into one of the films we're going to discuss later on. Interestingly, some of the same sort of themes were coming up and the same kind of talk. There's a bit where she goes into a beach house. She's obviously loaded, and she can't find the loo. Mm. And it's like, that's just, that's the kind of thing that happens to people with this awful disease. My grandmother died of Alzheimer's disease, so I've got some understanding of what happened to my nan. And there's bits of that I could really, really relate to with some of the It starts off with, like, can't remember the names. And my nan could, for years, could never remember. She'd always call, go around all the names. She'd call me John, and then Tony, and then Sean, and then Darren, and then Alec, and all the names of all the men in the family. And then finally, and you think, oh, she's just a bit doddery. But that obviously was a start of her condition years ago. So that kind of thing, I think it really worked well. They'd done their research tremendously well. And I think she'd studied for 4 months, I think, to actually get into the role. And she, you know, and she was brilliant. I thought all the supporting cast, I thought Kirsten Stewart was good. I'd like to see Kirsten Stewart actually do something where she's not a miserable miserable cow, because she always is in all of it. But she's very good at it. I love her too. But she's always that broody kind of, like, awkward woman.
You didn't know when I was Marlon Brando to do a comedy.
No, that's right. It's just her shtick, isn't it? I quite like Alec Baldwin. I think he's all right.
No,
I think
he's not.
I think he's.
No, he's not.
I think he's quite good in this.
I read a really good review where it said that Alec Baldwin's presence in this film made it feel like a Nancy Myers comedy about Alzheimer's.
Okay. Well, I thought he was. I thought.
It wasn't me.
And then I think that he did. It did show bits of how it affected some of her family at times. But yeah, I'd recommend it. I think it's a well worth. Film, but like Mike, I don't know if I'd watch it again. No. It's one of those. I mean, I downloaded it off Amazon Prime and got it, but you know, will it ever be watched again? Not for a long while.
Don't think you come in from a night out. Let's have a laugh.
We could play a drinking game every time she forgets something. I thought, you know, well, that maybe do it that way.
This is too dark.
Anyway,
I'm sorry, listener.
Yeah, that's my review.
Well, for what it's worth, I really liked it, and I've seen it twice, and I think there are some fantastic bits in it. I agree that the other characters do feel very, you know, sort of surface only. Alec Baldwin has no business being in that movie at all.
Well, I love you, Alec.
Three anti-Alecs.
Yeah.
So I didn't realise I didn't like him until now.
No, I like him in a lot of stuff, just not this.
Right, you're two-faced.
No, he's brilliant, but in Thomas the Tank Engine and in Glengarry Glen Ross, really.
Yes, you liked him in the
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, I loved him.
Oh, he's also really good in The Edge as well. Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, don't know that.
With the bear and...
Anyway, this is not an Alec Baldwin special, I repeat. It is not an Alec Baldwin special.
I cried watching this.
Did you?
On a number of occasions. There's one scene where she finds out that her early onset Alzheimer's is genetic, and she may have passed it on to her children, and they all go and have the test. And one of the children comes back positive.
They know they are going to develop it.
And there's a telephone call where she's walking down the street, and the child phones her up. Very powerful, and says, you know, I've got this. And just... I think the thing that got me about that is just she doesn't overplay it at all, but you can just see in her face that she's just like, okay, this is my fault. I've condemned my child to this.
Awful.
And also the other thing, I won't go into big detail, but when she's still fairly well, she records a little video on her laptop so that if she gets to the stage where she's unable to answer these three questions on her phone, there's an instruction to watch this video, and the video is basically instructions to her self further down the line to commit suicide. I don't want to spoil anything, but when she's recording it early on in the film, you just think, I totally get that. I totally get that. I understand why she's doing it. I'm with her. By the time it comes up later in the film and she is much further down the road and stumbles across the video, it's just like, don't listen to her. Do not listen to her.
I agree with that.
Like two different people. And also that performance when she's sitting there as the very, very unwell Alice, and then there's the Alice from months before on the video screen, you're just like, oh my God, just the comparison
between the two different people.
A great performance.
She is truly brilliant in it.
She's truly brilliant in everything.
You're right, but she's phenomenal.
So there we are. Is it time for a little bit of music?
Oh, I think so.
Are we saying if we recommend it or not?
Yeah, we all do, don't we? Definitely watch it. Watch it, even though it's got Alec Baldwin in it.
Yeah, despite Alec.
Poor old Alec.
That's a sequel.
Despite Alec. Alec. Oh. Chef's music. This is from the film.
Go on then. What were we listening to?
Oh, it's called If I Had a Boat. It's by Karen Elson and it plays over the end titles and it's nearly as dull as the film.
What a lovely, relaxing song.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it's so dull, isn't it? That song.
I don't know that I did find it dull, actually. I thought it was quite sweet.
Sweet? Yeah. I don't get it. What's a pony on a boat? What's it all about?
Oh, come on, man. Think outside the box. Clearly not creative.
I can understand the boat, but why do they want a pony on the boat? What's it?
Maybe he was talking about 50 quid. Isn't that a pony?
Maybe, yeah.
There's Cockney rhyming slang as well. Maybe there wasn't conveniences on the boat.
Is that a pony? 50?
Is it 50 quid? What's a monkey? Or is a monkey?
Monkey's 500 quid, isn't it? Oh. Or 200 anyway.
There you go. Give us a pony.
I'm impressed.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I am a true Cockney.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I was born
true.
In London Hospital.
Really?
Yeah, this is true.
Within the sound of bow bells?
Right. Yeah, right.
Governor.
That's true. That is where I was born.
Okie dokie. Right, so let's move on. I'm going to hand over now to Mark.
Yes, and another film about Alzheimer's. Sorry, folks, we're trying to keep it...
Wait for next week, guys.
trying to keep it light and fluffy this month, so we thought we'd, talk about death and stuff. This is a film that came out in 2014. It's a documentary, and it's quite poignant because the subject of this documentary died on August the 8th this year, and it's Glen Campbell, and it's a film called I'll Be Me. And basically, it documents his final tour of the US. And he has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease a little while before, maybe sort of a year or so maybe before. And really, it documents his decline, which sounds dreadful, but that's what it is. It just follows him around on tour, and it's his interactions with his family, how he copes with it, and it sort of sits in with visits to his doctors. That's fair, isn't it? Doctors,
neurologists.
Yeah, neurologists and people like that, and you know. And I was very emotionally engaged in this film. I'm not a massive Glen Campbell fan, but I'm an admirer of his. I like some of his music. I think he's, you know, one of the great instrumentalists and musicians of the 20th century. A fantastic person. And there's some fantastic poignant bits in this film. There's a bit when, I think it's his tour manager, and his tour manager's son sort of, he almost adopts him as a sort of surrogate grandson.
Yeah.
And this child who is probably about 10, 11, something like that, maybe a bit older, but not very young. And there's a scene where he's trying to thread laces in his shoes, and he's trying to teach the child, and Glen Campbell was getting it all wrong because he can't remember how to do it. And there's so little touching moments like that are just so perfect. But it also shows a number of his shows that he does. And his band is full of his children, who are all brilliant musicians like he is. And there's pieces where, you know, the disease is such a state that Glen Campbell doesn't know how to get to the toilet in his own house, can't remember the names of his children. When he's playing, he has to read the lyrics off of autocue because he can't remember the lyrics anymore. But can play guitar like he always has. And it is just, how does the mind and the brain work? It's a different neural path to his guitar playing, and it is almost like he's doing that by instinct, and everything else he has to think about. And it's just a bit rambling, but there's other bits early on where they're talking about his disease, and he said, "Oh, I haven't got Alzheimer's. It's terrible. I haven't got that. I'm just emptying my mind of stuff so I can remember new stuff." And again, I talk about my nan, and it's that denial. That's what Alzheimer's patients do. They deny it because they can't comprehend what's happening to them. And he understands. And there's one scene in the film where he actually reconciles to his disease, and it's really heartbreaking. That scene, that interview. Because all the rest of the film, he just jokes about it all the time. He just laughs it off. Oh, yeah, I don't need that information anymore because I need to remember new stuff. So I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that name because I've got new names to remember. But there's one bit when he suddenly thinks, actually, yeah, I know what's happening to me. And he's lucid enough. And it follows him right on. It's his very final tour. It starts out, and it finishes where, and it's not the plot spoiler, but he has to give up. I think it's very well done. It's very unintrusive, although it's following him around while this man is basically dying. Although it finishes probably 3-4 years. It probably end of 2012 it finishes. So it's sort of, you know, probably 4.5 years before he actually did die. But yeah, I emotionally dissolved. It was quite upsetting in places. It's great music. The only thing I would say it didn't do particularly was look back on his past career, particularly in depth. And I think that it would have been nice to have a bit more of that.
Yeah.
But that's only a slight criticism. And I think it's a lovely insight to his family. His daughter, in particular, is interviewed a hell of a lot. And his wife. And it's a lovely film.
Mm. Well, that sounds like a glowing recommendation.
Yeah,
actually.
I thought it was a lovely film.
Yeah. Who should we come to next? Who wants to go next? Put your hands up and I will choose someone.
You didn't put your hand up.
Mike.
Well, I don't think I can add anything to what Mark said, actually. This is twice now I've agreed. But I thought it was
Play that noise again. Mm. Play the agreement noise again.
I can't do it.
Bling, bling, bling. But funny enough, because I saw Still Alice and then this film pretty much one after another, it really highlighted how good the research in Still Alice was. Mm. Because, like, the tests and stuff Glenn Campbell's having for real was like
exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Still Alice. And it was like, oh, it's kind of. I don't know. I just thought that was really good. It's a heartbreaking film. It depends how much you like Glenn Campbell,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
If you really like him. I'm not like the
biggest... I don't know how you could not like Glenn Campbell.
Well, yeah, that's...
It would be difficult, wouldn't it?
But I totally agree. I think it should... Well, you didn't say this exactly, but I think it should have been like 20 minutes longer to get some of the early stuff before the illness.
Yeah.
Of how great a musician is.
Absolutely.
Singer, and a performer of other people's songs. Mm. Like the way he does his songs, he wrote some of them, but...
The Jimmy Webb stuff.
Jimmy Webb stuff is just fantastic. Mm. Fantastic.
And his contribution to other people's music. Yeah, he played... He was one of the guitarists on Pet Sounds, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And he toured with... He was one of the touring Beach Boys.
That's right. And that was almost scooted over.
Yeah.
He was part of the Wrecking Crew, which is the most famous backing band in music history and done more than anybody else. And he was a massive part of that. And it would have been nice to reflect that.
Yeah. But I mean, he would have made it just as a guitarist, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Even if he didn't sing a note,
that's right.
He would have been recognised
One of the best guitarists in the world.
It's just a... So, it's a heartbreaking documentary. It's one that... If you've got any interest at all in Glenn Campbell, see this film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there not a fine line, though, between doing a documentary about someone that's about their entire life or this, which is really more a documentary about him at the time, struggling with Alzheimer's and the effect that it was having on him? And I think then some of the background stuff, for me, it was just enough background stuff to go, oh, I didn't realise he did that. Oh, that's interesting. And it, for me, it didn't need to go into that much detail. But, Joe, what about you?
Well, that's interesting. I was really dreading watching this, actually. I actually wanted to cry today when I had to watch it because I just couldn't be bothered. And it just felt like it was going to be so depressing. And you know what? Even though I love country, I didn't know much about Glenn Campbell. Obviously, when he died, I listened to a bit of his songs. And I was like, oh, yeah, he seems nice enough. He's got a beautiful voice, actually. One of those voices that really could listen to forever. And actually, I ended up finding it really fascinating. I think I find it absolutely fascinating that he was that brave to go on tour with that stage of Alzheimer's to highlight it to people. And that obviously, listen, there's a difference between someone sitting in an old people's home with Alzheimer's being visited once a week by their one surviving relative and a multimillionaire who's got Alzheimer's and who can be enabled and everything is being done to help him. So, you know, you have to have that remembrance. This is an extraordinary person dealing with a horrible disease. But I did think, wow, what a brilliant thing he did to show people the disease like that in such a public forum, to be that brave, to get up on stage and be, you know, and that's really gambling with your reputation. Some people, you don't know how harsh people can be. And like you, Mark, I couldn't believe it. The fact that I know that, I guess, if you've played an instrument for 50 years, it's a muscle memory, right? There are certain things you are doing. And I guess with Alzheimer's, it's just old things that are going. And he did sing the songs, but that voice is not affected. And obviously, he was a gorgeous man and everyone loved him. You know, three wives, drinking problems. It was obviously fun at some point. And I think it was really important. I thought the access that those filmmakers had was pretty extraordinary, actually, and I think the way they filmed it was really cinematic, and it was at a coherency. I do agree that I would like to have seen some more of his early stuff, because I do think it, at times, this is not to sound, there was only so much of this, you know. I didn't really, and also I didn't want to see that much more of his deterioration than I did. Do you know what I mean? For me, that was enough.
I think it finished at the right point.
Yeah. I mean, it was 3 years later he died,
yes,
right?
Well,
that is actually quite terrifying. That's what I'll say. I don't ever want to watch it again, but I thought it's really important. And, especially with all these, what's the word? The developments that are going on with that disease, and hopefully this cure is going to be discovered or some sort of help. You know, it's really... an important film to watch.
You know what I found interesting about this compared to Still Alice? Still Alice, I was kind of bawling my eyes out through various bits. With this film, I didn't cry at all.
Oh, the complete opposite. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, that is strange.
I didn't cry at all. And that's because, to me, it didn't feel like a tragedy. They weren't showing it as some tragic thing. Oh, look how terrible it is. He was such a nice man and so positive and so funny that even right at the end, when you could see that he was really having issues, he was still so nice and funny and friendly.
What's that? It didn't seem to have affected him that much.
No, but then it didn't feel like a tragedy. It did in a way, but...
When he shouted at his daughter and was upset with the golf clubs, it was... I mean, that's what I mean.
But then, that's what happens. And that's the next, like, she said... Well, he came down and he said, oh, hello. And he's like, just...
That's what she said, forgiveness without...
10 seconds, and he's like...
What was the expression she said? It was really great. It was forgiveness without...
Reconciliation.
That's the thing. Or no, reconciliation without forgiveness. That's it, yeah. It's the other way around. Yeah. So that's like, oh, we're fine again. But you're like, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah, but he had no memory of it at all.
Yeah. But yeah, I do get what you mean, because he was so amazing and because he was doing Donald Duck impressions and all of that, you just feel almost like, hey, man, this is all right, this disease. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's all right if you're Glen Campbell on a private jet doing Donald Duck impressions. But that's what I mean. It's an extraordinary person.
But like when he's on stage and he playing along and said, I don't know how to end this song. Mm. And it would get, you know, a big laugh. Mm.
But that bit when he was on stage when it went wrong at the end, that was, I mean, that was...
That's when they said, we can't do this anymore. Yeah.
And that is the thing, actually, what you just said, Joe, that you were pleased that we didn't see any more of his deterioration.
Yeah, I think it would have been voyeuristic, any more of it.
If they'd followed him around for another year... Mm. Then at that point it would have become a tragic film, but you were kind of, it was like they were celebrating the last vestiges of him, and you didn't really get to see Glen Campbell disappear.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't. Okay, I guess the family wouldn't have wanted that, would they? No, I mean, what that whole documentary is about is to highlight Alzheimer's, isn't it? It's not, and to keep his memory intact, and you know. So, and I'm glad, and I think they did that, didn't they?
But then Patrick Kamau's in the film. It didn't come to me. Who actually gave permission for that? Because access? Because if he was that far gone, is he okay to give that permission?
I think I think they made it seem like the wife and the daughter were doing a lot of campaigning for Alzheimer's. Right. So I think he said at some point, didn't he, I'm glad I ran into you. Or then he didn't know if he ran into him or not. But it felt like it was something that when he was well enough, he was willing to do. And his wife and his daughter.
I was just slightly uncomfortable there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just slightly. But, you know.
Are you over it now?
No, not really.
You're still uncomfortable?
Well, you know, on the plus side... He's not concerned about it anymore.
No, on the plus side, he's dead. And there you go, to carry on our cheery conversation.
Kind of
next week, we're
going to
discuss Glen Campbell, the musical. Don't worry, you're dead now.
On that cheery note, so what do we think then?
What is he on?
As we're on the radio, by show of hands, who recommends this film?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting result. You'll never know. Right, shall we have some music?
Should we play some Glen Campbell?
I thought you were going to play Dolly Parton or something controversial.
And there's only one tune we can play, Wichita Lineman.
Yeah.
What about Rhinestone?
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than won't you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Oh, if only you knew what we were talking about. Yes. Lovely song. Never mind, Glenn.
Such sympathy.
Wow.
Well, if we're going to have this horribly morose theme, then you know, I feel like I'm going to be flippant with death.
Exactly. Absolutely. If you
thumb your nose at death.
I do. I thumb my nose at you,
if
sir.
If you can't laugh at extremely ill people, then we might as well pack up and go.
Some absolutely might say that we're extremely ill in some ways.
That's
so
true. Right, so now we come to the third film in tonight's smorgasbord of
death.
Misery.
Death and misery.
Mike, okay. Speaking of misery, would you like to...
Maybe we should have done misery.
It's not about illness, though, is it really?
Yes, it is. She's mentally ill.
Oh, apart from that bit.
You don't kidnap someone and hobble their legs unless I think you're a little bit maybe disturbed. Well, there is that time. Oh, no.
Okay, Mike, over to you. Tell us about...
Can you tell, by the way, it's got a notepad. It's got a notepad.
Fully prepared.
Have you actually got things written on it this time?
Yeah, look at them.
We are moving on up, people.
We are. You're growing as a person.
Thank you, Dan.
You're very welcome.
Okay, the film, Gentle Listener, is Other People. It's 2016, which is my pick of the year last year. Mm. My top of the pile for last year. Even beating Batman vs Superman.
Wow.
Oh, well, God. Really, what? No, I can't believe it.
It did, honestly. I know, I can't believe I'm saying that myself, but it did.
Did you only watch two films?
That's what I was going to ask. That was exactly my next question.
I also like The Lobster.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that stupid sexist piece of... Oh, sorry, namaste.
Okay, and Blue Jay, I liked a lot.
Anyway, moving on.
Sorry.
Moving on, Hustle, it's called Other People. 2016, written and directed by Chris Kelly. It's his debut feature. He's well known for Saturday Night Live, apparently, but I've never seen Saturday Night Live, so I wouldn't know. Stars Jesse Plemons and Molly Shannon, who are both excellent actors. Mm-hmm. Not that I know too much about them, but I do know they're excellent. Anyway, here's the plot. Jesse Plemons plays David. He's a 29, I think he is, 20-something anyway. He's a gay man who moves back home from New York, where he's a struggling comic writer-performer. Back home to Sacramento, which is kind of a small-town America vibe to it, because his mother is dying of cancer. So we're taking a break from Alzheimer's and going upmarket to cancer.
Aren't you relieved, listeners?
And really, it's as his mother struggles with cancer, it's him and his family, his grandparents, his two sisters, and his father. And his father refuses to accept that he's gay. And it's a year struggle, really, each in their own way deal with the inevitable loss of their mother. And it's a comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, is it? That's what's so remarkable about it. I think this is just an absolutely wonderful film. It makes a bold choice, in my opinion. It's not a spoiler. It's the very first scene in the film. Yeah. It starts with the mother's death. And then the whole 12 months leading up to death is dealt in flashback, but chronologically flashback, and actually a bit Tarantino like, splitting into chapters, January, February, March. You get the idea.
Hmm.
And it's just incredible. It's so well judged, in my opinion, between really bawling your eyes out emotion and laugh yourself. Not exactly love is silly, but very well-judged, well-paced comedy scenes. And for me, what makes this film far superior to Still Alice, though I did like Still Alice, is that I bought every single character. Every single character was a real character. Even people that don't appear that much in the film, for instance... David, our lead guy, his best friend is also gay, and his little brother is also gay, and he does like a big show, and it's like an outrageously camp show he puts on. He's in it for two scenes, mate. I think it's just two scenes. Mm. And the best friend is only in it for two, maybe three scenes. But they're all like real people. You can kind of... imagine them existing and having lives outside of the 90-minute film. You think it's just wonderful, and I think like the father won't accept the fact his son is gay. It's handled so well because the father is such a nice bloke. He's funny. He's warm. He's a good father. He's very conservative, so he can't accept it. But it's such work. He's not like the bad guy. It's just his character trait and how they... What I think this film does better than Still Alice is Still Alice, it's all about Alice. In this film, Mother, it's she's the kind of hub, if you like, that all these dramas circulate around. And if you get to the film, end of the film without crying, well, you're dead.
Mm. You're Glenn Campbell. It's all right to say he's dead. He is dead.
Oh, okay.
I think this is fast becoming in my top 10 films of all time.
Mm, really?
I've seen it two or three times. I loved it. And every time I've seen it, it gets better and better.
You've only seen three films, though. You haven't even got to 10 yet.
So there you go. See it. It's fantastic. There you go.
Well, that's a glowing recommendation there from you, isn't it, Mike?
Mm. I think you might like that, didn't you?
Right, let's hear from a normal person. Joe.
Well, I've got to say to you, when I first started watching this film, I wanted to punch someone in the face because I hated it so much.
Joe actually messaged me.
I messaged him saying, I effing hate this film.
Why?
Wait, I've not finished. Typical man. So, so this was like 10 minutes into it, I thought it was pretty shady. Not shady. Just seemed badly put together and was wasting a lot of good actors, in my opinion. That scene when they go to the gay club is one of the worst scenes I've ever seen in my life. It's not funny. It's schmaltzy. It doesn't hang together well. The extras are awful and it doesn't work. Anyway, moving on. So... what actually happened was that it won me over, this film, and I ended up really liking it. I think it's semi-autobiographical. It's Chris Kelly's semi-autobiographical movie, right? You can kind of tell. I think that maybe with a better producer, but it could have been even better. I do think at times it's trying to be really quirky. In fact, it doesn't quite work. I think Jesse Plemons is extraordinary. I think Molly Shannon is extraordinary. And I think some of it is really great and it is beautiful and sad and warming. But I think at times it just feels a bit like... it's just a bit thrown together. and not thought about properly, which is a shame because I think it could be so much easier. But in the end, it did win me over and it made me laugh a lot. Like the scene where the granddad says the woman had her head cut off and she was still trying to get out and chase people around. I mean, that made me really laugh. And lots of it made me really laugh, but there were also bits that just didn't make me laugh.
No.
It just fell flat. But overall, I say it really won me over. And like I said, Molly Shannon is... I love her anyway. She's so amazingly brilliant. Jesse Plemons, I've been in love with for ages. And yeah, I think what Chris Kelly should have done, I think, is written it and given it to someone else to direct. Mm. But overall, I really enjoyed it. Thank
well,
you.
Well, because we spoke briefly, didn't we, about this before. I said, I'm going to come to the market. I said that I wish that the guy had written it and then given it to someone like the woman whose name I can't remember, who directed Appropriate Behaviour.
And then I took that and made it my own comment.
Yeah, so that she could do...
A woman's flamed it. I forgot about that.
So that she could do a rewrite and then direct it. And I think it would have been much, much better because, for me, the humour didn't really...
The thing is, how could he have... You know, it's so close to him, isn't it? I mean, I think... Listen, come, Mark, you talk.
I felt more like Joe than I do about with a mic. I didn't find it particularly funny.
Always.
No, well, yeah, that's standard. But I didn't particularly find it particularly funny. There's some amusing bits in it. As I say, I think the scene with was it Justin who was the brother of his gay friend, who was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Just so funny, and that he was like 14 when he made this film. JJ Totar, his name is.
It's pretty funny.
And I say it was just so well done, and he's so over the top and so camp because he's obviously coming to terms with his sexuality and all that. And I thought it was, the bits like that. But I really like the central performances were amazing. I thought Jesse Plemons, whose only other thing I've ever seen him was the bit he was in when he was in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
When he was so evil and so appalling and so brilliant because he didn't say anything. He was just horrible. And it was just such a flip of that. Because he was such a warm, endearing person.
Because in Friday Night Lights, he plays a really nice character.
Okay,
too.
Yeah. So it's just such a difference, and I've not seen Friday Night Lights, and I thought the chemistry between the family members really, really worked, particularly between Jesse and his mum. You know, you could tell how close they were, I really liked it. I don't know about whether it should be handed to another director or not. It felt a bit plodding at times, maybe.
Plodding.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bradley Whitford, though. Talk about Bradley Whitford, because that's his name, the dad. Who's amazing, by the way.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's very good.
I adore him.
Yeah, he's very good. And there's a couple of scenes with just Jesse Plemons and him that were really, really powerful and really cool. And the fact that his dad just couldn't reconcile the fact that his son was gay after all these years.
But he's so... the dad character, he's not a bad...
No, he's not a bad person.
At all.
No.
And he says, when he's trying to understand the fact that he's refusing to accept, he keeps giving him gym memberships and stuff.
Yeah.
Moving me into the more...
I've never been.
Metro side. And then it's trying to understand. He does his best to understand. He said, well, let's debate it. And he said, well, there's nothing to debate.
That is interesting that you've got a homophobic character that isn't a horrible person.
I mean, that's got to be.
I don't know if he's homophobic, even.
No,
he's
just
gets to grips with his son being gay.
Right. It's all to do with his sort of religion, isn't it, and stuff in a way.
Oh, yeah, they're really religious.
They're quite religious, aren't they? And he just doesn't get it.
I see. See, that could have been explained a bit better.
Yeah. Plodding isn't the right word. It wasn't. It was just a little
magnificent.
I thought it was a little bit slow at times. That's all. But
should have been better directed. That's what it should have been.
Yes.
But it's not to say it's not a great movie. It just could have been better.
And there were some very touching bits, and there were parts of it that you did cry at because it was heartbreaking in places.
It moved me to tears.
Yeah. It did me as well, and I thought Molly Shannon was just incredible.
I think she should have won an Oscar.
Yeah, brilliant.
Why not?
She won.
But this wastes some.
Didn't she win the Sundance?
It wastes her performance a bit.
No.
She's not in it enough.
What else has Molly Shannon been in?
Oh my God, where do I start?
Hang on a minute, I can tell.
Oh.
No, I mean, sure, she's in.
Oh dear, why did you ask that?
Filmographer. Oh,
so she's been in Never Been Kissed, which is obviously amazing.
I've never seen it.
She's in Divorce. Do you watch Divorce?
No,
the thing.
Never seen it.
Return of Two Moon Junction. Lawnmower Man 2.
She was in SNL. She was an SNL person as well for years.
Has she been in anything good?
Never Been Kissed.
Never seen it.
Well, yeah, well, you should. Anyway, let's not waste our last minute on.
No.
She's brilliant. She was SNL for ages.
Oh, she's in Scary Movie 5.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Don't diss Molly Shannon. I'll come over there.
Me and Earl
on the diet. I'll come over there.
I think she was fantastic.
She is
in this.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's very good.
Absolutely fantastic.
She was.
It's nothing like ending the show with almost a punch up of a Molly Shannon. But Bradley Whitford, how great is he?
He's amazing.
He's so good. Have you seen Get Out? You should all watch Get Out. Yes. Everyone. He's so good.
Yeah.
Get Out's amazing.
Okay, so what are we saying then?
Well, obviously, I think it's fantastic. I think you lot are wrong.
Take this depressing, ploddy, shoddy melodrama and watch it, guys. It's great. I mean,
no, it's a great film.
No, it is good. It is good. Go see it. Go rent it. Watch it.
It be a unanimous decision from you three that people should definitely watch it. And I would agree. I think people should.
If you've
watch
got Netflix, why the hell not? It's free anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. It's free. You can fall asleep. It's only 96 minutes long. Yeah. It's all right. Go
it's
out
only
and make
95
a cup of tea.
Minutes too long.
Perhaps do some ironing.
We're joking. It's a great film.
It's a great film. Could it's have been a great, 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 great film.
Might like it.
So, shall we finish off then with a little bit of music?
Yeah.
Mike, what do we have?
Well, it's from the film, and if you've seen the film, you won't be able to listen to this without a lump in your throat, and a tear in the eye, and something else while trying to find what it's called. Oh, yes, it's called Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Okie dokie. So we will say goodbye then, folks.
Yep. Thank you so much. See you next
month. Thank you so much.
Stay listening for Take 127 Overlooked in about 4.5 minutes' time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you next month.
In the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her head. She acts like summer and walks like rain. Reminds me that there's a time to change. Since the return of her stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June.